Radio. I am your host, Eric Jackson, and today we have another outstanding show planned for you. And the topic of the day is parents versus athletes and the music industries. And when I say parents versus athletes in the music industry, I'm talking about, what am I talking about? I'm talking about role models, man, role models. But okay, we're going to get to that in a few minutes. Of course, today is Thursday, March the 7th. Wow. Woo, I tell you, 2013, I tell you, boy, it's one of those, it's another one getting ready to go flying by. Hey, that's for sure, that's for sure. Now, if you want to join in the conversation today, give me a call, 347-838-8622. We would love to hear what you have on your mind. And that's for dang on sure. You can also follow, send me an email at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at Driven4FRLife62, and or you can just stop by my Facebook page. You know, I like to see some comments of people who listen to the show and see what you think about the show. So just stop by the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson, at Facebook.com, and let me know what you're thinking. You know, so I can know what I'm doing well and what I'm not doing well, and we can, you know, make things work from there. See, me and my boy Lo, we got this connection, you know. We always on the page, so we know what's going on. So I want to know what's going on with you. You know, what's on your mind? You know, give me a hint. You know what I mean? All right, that's what I'm talking about. So don't forget, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. All right, well, let's get some of these other things out the way. The show covers some very touchy subjects. So before we get started, I officially want to apologize to anyone that may feel offended. And, of course, we're not trying to offend anyone. Heck, we don't even want to offend each other. But sometimes in the passion of the conversation, you know, things come out. You know, it just comes out. We're not trying to intentionally do it, but it happens. So if, you know, we do offend you or you're just a little bit too sensitive about what we're talking about, we do apologize. But this is an adult show, and we will have adult conversations. It's just that simple. Just that simple. We're not trying to use a whole lot of profanity or anything like that, you know, because I do believe as adults we should be able to talk without that type of language being used, every other syllable or what have you. So we good on that. All right, so if myself or any of my callers, especially counsel, offend anyone, we do apologize, okay? Also, on Let's Talk, we do encourage open dialogue, and we'd love to hear from everybody's opinion. There's no opinion that we wouldn't like to hear from. However, if you do happen to call in and on the air, you know, do not speak over each other. You know, because if there's a point being made, and everyone is talking at one time, that point may be missed. And I've noticed sometimes I have to go back and listen to the shows, and there's points that's missed because of over-talking of each other. So I will do a better job at keeping that down. However, if you are a caller on the show, please remember that. Okay, and also please keep your responses short and sweet and to the point. You know, the shorter it is, the better off the more people we can hear. And that's always a great thing. Because like I said before, we want everybody's opinion. There's no opinion that we do not want to hear. Okay? Hey, enjoying life. I see you out there. And of course, the big thing, no personal attacks. You know, as I said before, we are all adults, right? We are all adults. And we should be able to hold a conversation, a debate, or however you want to categorize it without having to call each other names. Now, as I said before in the opening when I was apologizing, sometimes in the heat of or the passion of a conversation, you know, we may throw a name or two out there, but it's, you know, we're not going to do it intentionally. It just happens. And I've already apologized for that. So, okay. You know, I'm not going to beat that horse down anymore. All right, but I do want to beat that horse down. Don't overtalk each other, okay? Now, yesterday we had some cases of that, and as you can see, I will mute you. I don't care if I have to mute you 3-4 times. I will mute you. Now, if I think you're just not listening or paying attention to what's going on, then it may come a point to where I just kick you off the show. You know, and whatever you do after that is whatever you do. But we're trying to have adult conversations without everybody interrupting each other. Because that just frustrates not only me, but it frustrates my callers and my listeners. You know, and this is a show where we want everybody to be able to learn something or have their input. But if everybody's talking and fussing and won't let anyone else talk, then that creates an issue. And I am not having that type of issue on this show. Because I do believe I'm a liberal type host. You know, I let you talk, and I let, you know, sometimes I let them let everybody talk, and I just listen and take notes. But there comes a time when I have to step in. If I have to step in, hey, somebody's going. Somebody's going to be silenced or tased, as they say. All right. So now that we have all that out of the way, hey, man, how y'all doing out there today? You know, I done went straight into everything. How y'all doing out there today? I hope everybody having a happy Thursday. Man, I tell you, Thursday, it's Thursday. That means one more day before Friday. Hey, you can't beat that, right? You can't beat that. I know. So somebody should be about out there smiling right now because I'm smiling. Oh, my goodness, I am smiling because you're living. Remember that. You're living. There's a reason to smile. That's for damn sure. No matter what you're going through, if you're out there breathing, hey, you should be smiling. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Now, what we're going to do real fast is get our no combination commercial in here. And after about 30 seconds or so, after this little 30-second break, I see y'all in about 31 seconds. All right.
The first in the Just No series of inspirational fiction novels, No Condemnation by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress, is heartwarming and emotionally engaging. You will be challenged and changed as you read the gripping story of Trinae Sloan, a young, single mother torn between her misplaced faith and her children's philandering father, and what's best for everyone involved. No Condemnation by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress will be available in both paperback and ebook formats March 13th at Amazon.com.
All right, that was No Condemnation by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress. And we had on the show about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and she's a young lady, she's a sister, and she's doing a thing. So let's support her. March the 13th, her book will be out. I'm trying to get a live broadcast from her book release party. I don't know whether that's going to happen or not, but we're going to try and make it happen just for y'all. So, we, you know, you can talk to her on her special day. You know what I mean? Oh, all right. All right, y'all. Now, see what we're going to talk about. We got to get to the quote of the day, don't we? And, you know, the quote of the day, I don't know. Let's see, what did I did pick out for the quote of the day? Ah, yes, 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 yes. The quote of the day. Here's the quote of the day, y'all. Now, you know, I go through and I check for quotes of the day, and I kind of pick the quotes depending on what hits me. No, it doesn't say, but the spirit hits me. But I ain't going to say the spirit. Yeah, I'm going to say, when the spirit hit me, I pick a quote that makes sense to me and has a lot to do with what I'm thinking. So here's the quote of the day by Jean-Paul Sartre, French philosopher. Everything has been figured out except how to live. Mm. I'm going to let that marinate for a few seconds, then I'm going to say it again. Everything has been figured out except how to live. Mm. And that may explain why we're going through a whole lot that we're going through right now. That's right. That's by Jean-Paul Sartre, a French philosopher. Yeah, I tell you, that's ooh, man. To me, that has a man that makes a lot of sense. It makes you think a little bit. Makes you think a little bit. It should make you work a little bit harder also when you think about it. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe it's just me going on, you know, one of my little solo trips into the atmosphere. But it's okay. It's okay. I come back, y'all. I come back. Just a little bit anyway. Just a little bit. All right. Before we go ahead and get into topics, you know, of course, there's always something else I want to talk about first. And here's something that I really thought was strange. The TSA, they're thinking about letting people carry knives on planes again. Oh, Lord have mercy. Here we go. They're also thinking about allowing items such as pool cues, lacrosse sticks, and one or two golf clubs. Now, really, who takes damn golf clubs on a plane? As a carry-on. That's all I'm saying. Who does that? I don't know, man. But, you know, I guess the feeling is sharp-art. According to a TSA chief, Kip Hawley, sharp-art objects can no longer bring down aircraft. I don't know what world he's living in, but I think they can. I really do. I think they can bring them down. And here's a statement from a stewardess. No, she wouldn't give a name, but it was a stewardess. And her statement was, only a few weeks after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, I sat through cockpit briefings that went something like this. If a terrorist takes you hostage, we will have to let you die. Or if terrorists take over the cabin, we will drive the plane into the ground. So what is that telling you? You know, basically, it doesn't matter what you got on the plane. If you're taking hostage or somebody takes over the plane, we killing everybody aboard. That is just about as crazy as hell as I want to say. You know, okay, so why even, oh, Lord have mercy, why even, you know, go through all the security checks we go through before we get on the plane anyway? If that's the way you're thinking about it, you wasting everybody's time. I placed a link in the chat room if you want to read more about this subject. But I tell you, I don't know, man. This is about some crazy stuff right there. Oh, okay. I thought Mr. Lowe was ready to come in. I guess he lost his say for a moment. Oh, never mind. He didn't put his hand back up. Maybe his hand got tired. But let me bring Mr. Lowe in. Oh, happy Thursday to you, Mr. Lowe, brother. What's going on?
I can't call it, sir. Happy Thursday to you also.
That's right. One more day, man. One more day.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely, man. Well, this is going to be a good topic today. Before we get to that, but what you just mentioned, that's foolish. That's foolishness, man. I mean, these people, they have their minds made up already. Hey, if something goes wrong, we're going to send the plane down regardless. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so if here's my point. If that's the case, then why limit anything? If that's the way you thinking about it, you know, why even? I mean, you can only take a certain container amount of lotion and everything else on the plane, but yet you gonna let someone bring a knife on the plane? I don't care if it's a folding knife. It's still a knife. You know what I mean? It's still gonna
You're right. Your carry-ons, hey, I have no problem with that. I mean, your check bags, I have no problem with that. Hey, you know, you put whatever you want to in your check bags. But, you know, when you get to talking about, oh, yeah, that knife is okay. And when they supposedly said that that flight actually was overtaken by, quote-unquote, terrorists with knives or box cutters or whatever, now you're going to allow it?
Yeah, I know, right? It sounds like.
Yeah.
Oops, wait a minute. I think I smell it. Wait a minute.
Yeah, me too.
Do you want to say it? Or do I want to say it?
Oh, you can go ahead with that. You, everybody know. You don't even have to waste your time with the word.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that. Yeah. As far as golf clubs and things of that nature, hey, I will say that I've been on planes with numerous people bringing guitars and things of that nature, on the plane with them, you know, and I was always looking like, where's that supposed to go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but nothing was said about it and it was allowed. So, hey, you know, it is what it is. But if you're going to allow people to bring sharp objects, knives on the plane, I mean, why in the hell, if I get there to the check station and I have this big thing of lotion, you know, I'm going to have to throw it away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How is that?
Exactly.
But this person with a pocket knife that can actually cut somebody's head off, oh, yeah, bring your knife on. You know, take over the plane. You know, do what you want to do. Man, it's crazy. And I actually think that if it's a situation like that, they're only gearing up for something else to possibly happen.
Yay, I told you I was smelling something.
Hey. But for the people that don't like to weed through bullshit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just said what it was that you were.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
But,
wow.
You know,
but it's okay.
With, yeah, absolutely. You know, and I'll quote someone from the other day. You know, you get, and for the lack of a better term, you're going to get a lot of people coming on here dick measuring, and whatever they say, it may be articulate as hell, but it's still probably going to be wrong. So, you know, don't know what the hell they're talking about. You know, but you and I, we've been in situations where things like this could occur when someone does pose an imminent threat. And, hey,
mm-hmm.
if you don't remove the imminent threat, the chance of the threat, then, hey, you still have a possibility for something to happen.
You're right. And let me bring Shasta in, but I want to bring up something else also.
Yeah.
Hello, Miss Shasta. You on the air. What's going on with you? Shasta, are you there? I tell you, you raise your hand, then you don't be there when I bring you in. I tell you, what kind of mess is that? Anyway, but
breathe on.
Yeah, I know, right? But here's something else I want to bring up. What about the drones, man? It's where, you know, I think I touched on this a little bit yesterday, where they say it's a possibility that they can use drones on American citizens. What kind of mess is that going on? Is that something that's necessary, or are they kind of preparing us for something that's about to happen?
Brother, I know you saw that picture that I posted on my Facebook page of the vehicles, the urban assault vehicles that the Department of Homeland Security has now, which are armored vehicles. And
mm-hmm.
the quote of the president standing right beside it, we don't need weapons of war on our streets. What the fuck are those? Those are weapons of war. You know, armored vehicles in American cities. Man, you know, people, they like to sit up and watch Maury Povich and all of this and that other stuff that distracts them, but they really should start thinking and looking at what's going on around them, you know. And the people that's doing this shit are the people that you put in place to make your life better.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I've never been a person to respect someone that tells me, well, I'm doing this to make you safer. Motherfucker, I'm a grown-ass man. I can protect myself. Wow.
Well, you know, and here's the thing. Here's something else I was thinking about. With all this gun battles going on about taking guns off the street and, you know, requiring, mental background checks, so forth and so on. Now we're talking about the possibility of drones actually flying in our skies here in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, it sounds like something is about to happen. I hate to say it, but it sounds like something is about to happen. And, you know, it's just amazing. It's just amazing.
Shouldn't be.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be.
And here's another thing also. Okay, so the quote was, well, the saying was, this is what can happen, and it can only happen during extreme circumstances. Now,
uh-huh.
The question I had was, who's going to consider what the extreme circumstance is?
Right.
You know, is it going to happen if someone decide, you know, a certain city decide to go on a riot and, you understand what I'm saying? Or somebody testing something, you know, that's anti-government, you know. So who's going to, in other words, we know Big Brother's watching, but who's watching over Big Brother to make sure they make the right choices?
Nobody.
No one.
No one. And Joe was right on point the other day when he said, well, you know, if you want to say something about bullying, then the biggest bullies in the world is, he said, the U.S. government. I'll say the U.N. You jump on our page and we'll do everything in the world to make your life miserable. and the number one country that's always going and starting shit with every other country has never signed that pact, the agreement for the nuclear arms agreement. They've never signed it. So they expect other countries to, how in the hell are you going to tell me I can't have weapons to protect myself, but you're going to have them? That's bullshit, man. You know, you demonize a country. You
mm-hmm.
demonize them. You make their leader as though he's the worst thing in the world. Oh, they're doing all this and they're doing all that. I've talked to the Iraqi people before. I know what the hell they said. Saddam was not as bad of a person as you people made him out to be, quote unquote. But
look out, man.
But they bring the media in there, and you get these lying ass journalists who have no integrity whatsoever. I don't give a damn how long they've been on TV, Sam Donaldson and all those other people. I don't give a damn. But that means absolutely nothing. I mean, we saw during the election when I think it was CNN came out and said, well, the numbers are in. Al Gore has won. And George Bush sat back and said, hey, just because he has the most votes, that doesn't mean he's going to win. And not be damned.
Oh, my goodness, see?
Man, the hell out of here.
Yeah.
You better wake up, man. See, they run. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. They run the thing to say, oh, yeah, this is the greatest place. America is wonderful. You can come here and do whatever. You can be an American citizen. You'll never be hungry. This is what the people on the outside looking in see. They don't actually see what's actually going on the ground, you know. Shit.
Well, you know, it's two ways of looking at that, Low. You know, compared to where the people come from. Yeah, I mean, we got it going on. But for us that's been here for a minute, we know it's not that great to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we are aware of the inner workings of the government that is not for the people. You know, it's
right.
for that top 1%, the top 1 to 5%, and that's it. You know, everybody
right.
else, you know, you got to get what you got to get.
Right, I agree with that part.
Yeah, so... Ooh,
but
man, I tell you.
What I don't agree with is that on the outside looking in, the thing is, let's say that you're from a Muslim country and your religion has been a part of your life, all of your life. Not just, you know, mom and dad are going to church every now and then on Easter or whatever, you know, the case may be. Your religion is an intricate part of your life. And you come to America, there are no religions here. People can do what the hell they want to do. They can pretend church. They can worship Satan. They can do whatever the hell they want to. That there's no religion in that whatsoever. So my thing to that is this, you know, it's just you come here and you do whatever the hell you want to do. You know, I don't think that's better. I think that's a lack of order.
That's a very
order.
Interesting view.
There's no order. When you say that you are a quote-unquote Christian nation, but then you say, oh, yeah, well, you know, two men, yeah, two sodomites can marry each other. Two women can marry each other.
Hmm.
No, no, oh, we don't have any problems. No, 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 no. I'm going to make sure I get elected again. So, hey, that's what they want to do, then why not? And plus, you know, secretly, I'm in the closet doing the exact same damn thing. So, you know, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get elected again. Man, there's no order. There's no order in this country. Everybody knows that, man. You know, at least I can say that from being in all the countries that I've been in outside of America, it, more especially the Muslim countries, I do not agree with Islam on no level. But if there's some homosexuality going on over there, it's not publicized and it's not glamorized nor glorified.
You're absolutely correct. You're right.
Here, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. Men walking around saying they were born women. That's bullshit.
I feel that. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I try not to put that in my nostrils at all.
Hey, man. You can't evade it nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you
go to your famous big-time church that has 1,500, 10,000 members, hey, you know, you got your choir director up there prancing around, you know, and he got on his gray contact lenses and all this and that, you know what I'm saying, and looking as feminine as hell, you know what I'm saying? Nothing masculine about them whatsoever. So it's just, even if you try to avoid it, you're going to run into it regardless.
Yeah. You know, I read a story the other day, in fact, about a gay pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was like, wow, it's just got to that point now to where they just coming out everywhere, you know?
Yeah, why not? You can be what you want to be.
You know, but how can you, as a parishioner, sit there knowing that the Bible says this is an abomination? You understand what I'm saying? But yet,
absolutely.
You sit there and you follow it because he's your pastor. That's I don't see the justness of that.
I don't see the sanity in it whatsoever. But the thing about it, like I told Michael the other day, you read your Bible and you'll see every bit of it right there in front of you.
Mm.
You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, some of the things that I say, I cuss and I'm just a man. But
right.
I do study scripture.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's see. Let's move. Oh, wait a minute. Big Chris got to want to join in the conversation. Let me bring him in. All right, Big Chris, happy Thursday to you. What's on your mind, man?
Happy Thursday. Love one of the greatest shows I love listening to. What's on my mind right now? Dealing with this cold right now, but we're getting through it. I just want to say, hope everyone is doing well. I'm listening, and I heard you mention, like, about a gay pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think two things? Do you think that should one of the qualifications, because pastors, from what I'm understanding, they have to have interviews and they have to have a resume of what school they went to, of theology and things like that. So one of the questions be, what is your sexual preference? And if the future presidents of the United States ever asked, because they always do, how do you feel about gay rights? And one of the and the person that is running for president of the United States, whether it's male or female, says, well, I feel pretty good about it because I'm a lesbian or I'm gay. How do you feel about a lesbian or a gay man running the country of the United States of America?
Well, let me go first. To answer to your first question,
mm-hmm.
The thing is, as far as your quote-unquote resume goes, not
yeah.
all churches, is, you know, you get into these big mega churches where, oh, yeah, I went to this theological school and that seminary or whatever. Not all of those schools require that. I mean, not all those churches require that. Yeah, I mean, you know, for the churches that want to be advanced and, you know, go well into the 22nd century, you know, they're going to require that. But as far as an elected official goes, as a, such as a president or whatever, I don't agree with it.
Okay.
I'm not ever going to agree with it. You know, hell, it wasn't, but not even a whole 40 years ago, a person like that was considered to have a mental defect.
Mm.
No.
Yeah, that's true. That's quite true. Let me go ahead and bring Shasta in. Let me bring Shasta in here. All right, Shasta, you on the air. Happy Thursday to you.
Hey. I'm hearing a lot. I like the fact that he asked the question, that Chris asked the question, should that be on the interview? Like, should that be an interview? Because he's right. You do have to go through a process to become a pastor. So as far as it being part of the interview, probably not, just because gays are fighting for equal rights, and I feel like that would be a prejudice in some way.
Okay, before you say another word, I don't mean to cut you off. Before you say another word, if you're going to jump up and down, hoop and holler about the Bible this and the Bible that, and the Bible says, hey, don't be like that, and the Lord says, hey, I hate that. It ain't that I don't like it. No, I hate that. You know, so what's that? Isn't that kind of a contradiction right there?
Well, that's a good question. But
no, that's the answer to the question. Yes, it's a contradiction.
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
I have to be careful with what I say as to not be a hypocrite either way, because the Bible says a lot of things. And
mm-hmm.
one of the things is for me not to judge somebody else. How do I know anything about anybody's personal life? And for me to judge you based on your sexuality, I don't think that makes me any more a Christian than somebody who lives in a homosexual or a heterosexual lifestyle. Like, it doesn't make me any better than you. It doesn't make me any more Christian.
Let me ask this question then, and it's not about making any, you know, you better or them better, but how, as a parishioner in a church, can you sit up there and listen to this person say, thus says the Lord, when you know from the get-go they are, you know, going against God's word from the beginning? You know, how can you justify that? You know, I understand the Bible says, judge ye not, you be judged.
Right.
I understand that. But if it's out there, who's judging? I mean, we're human. See, this is my point. We're human. So as a parishioner, you know what's right or wrong as per the Bible or whatever your religion is, and you whatever book you read, the Quran, whatever. But how can you just sit up there as a parishioner knowing this person is going against all the teachings that you've been taught and be okay with that?
I don't think a person necessarily is going to be okay. Okay, I'm going to say it like this. Any parishioner in a church, whether it's going to be pastor or whether you're Catholic or whatever, I'm sure that anybody who leads a church is not necessarily in agreement with the lifestyle that all of their followers keep. So even at the head of my church, I may not be in agreement with what some of the people in my pulpit and then what some of the people in my church house do. I might not be in agreement with that. But what my job is to stay in a line with whatever message I'm going across, because we may not necessarily be talking about Christians. It could be any religion. Gays come in many different backgrounds. Now, to me, the question is, if you're gay, does that make you any less religious, or does that make you any less a Christian because your sexuality is homosexual?
You asking, or you want? Are you asking
not just that?
Question.
Not
it's
just that. That's not just that, but this person who is openly saying that, yes, I'm a lesbian or I'm a gay, and I'm interested. I'm gay and interested in becoming the pastor of this church, wants to also want that to be known, but they're going to be the leader of that community in that church. How would you feel about it?
Okay.
I mean, I guess you depend on my following.
Okay. Now, if you're the shepherd and these are your sheep, are you going to take them to the wolf is the question.
Hmm.
If you're going to lead me directly to the wolf, then I don't need you.
Hmm.
If you are a part of the wolf, I definitely don't need you. And as far and I knew the word judging was going to come up. Now, I brought an analogy a long time ago. If you have a 2-year-old child that's about to stick their hand on a hot stove, and you, hey, don't put your hand on that stove. It's hot. It's going to hurt you. That's something wrong. Hey, don't stick that knife in that outlet. It's wrong. It'll hurt you. Is that judging? Because it's the exact same thing. Only when we become adults, when someone says, hey, that's not right, does it become judging. It's the exact same thing. You can put whatever clothes you want to on it. It's the exact same thing.
Okay, but I want to comment on what you just said. You said it might hurt you. In whose opinion is it hurting you? Is it in your opinion that what I'm doing is hurting me? Or is it how Michael likes to say, is that is that reality? You know what I mean?
It's like,
it's in your reality because that's the way that you believe. Let me explain because some people who listen to this show know a little bit about me. Enough to know that Shasta's bisexual. So
Shasta
want to
justify what she's doing is what is going on.
Okay, let me finish. Because, see, right now you sound like someone, and I try not to judge other people because I don't know what they do in their life. And it's easier to look at someone who may be gay. It's easier to look at them and say, oh, you're not living your life right. You know, that's not by the Bible. You know, the Bible says don't do that. Well, in the same breath, God still puts all his commandments, he lines them all up, and he also tells us that one is not greater than the other. So he also puts murder in the same category as he puts a liar. He puts them all in the same. A murderer, a cheater, a liar, they're all in the same. So as we can look at gay people and easily say, oh, you're doing wrong, that's not the Bible, we don't necessarily look at ourselves as liars on a daily basis and throw ourselves in the same flame we trying to throw them in.
Let me tell you. Let me help you real quick. One word determines everything that you just said. Now, an abomination. All the lying. Oh, don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Gay. Abomination. That thing might. Abomination. Hatred. They go hand in hand. They're all together right there. You know, like I said, I'm not perfect. I don't try to justify anything that I do or don't do. But if you open the book up and it's right there in the book, hey, don't do this. There's nothing to come behind it. And if you say, so-and-so is doing that, regardless to what so-and-so is doing, all we're saying is, hey, if the book says don't do this, then you want to find a way.
But what I'm saying is it kind of makes you hypocritical at the same time. Because when we want the book to work for us, we'll pull the book out. People will say, oh, this is the book. This is the book right here. This is the instruction. I need you to follow this book. But at the same time, if most of us were to die today, half of us wouldn't know what's in the book. We wouldn't even pass through the gates. So most people want to throw the book at people and say, this is the book, and abide by everything the book says. But half of us ain't even aligned with the book. We too busy judging people on what they not following, what the book say. What things are you coming up short that put you in the same damn position as someone else? All I'm saying is when we try to judge gay people based on this lack of interest that we have in the way that they live their life, you have to understand that Mr. Eric was going back to the scripture. You know, you don't want to judge someone because you're going to be judged accordingly, the same way, in the same measure. So the lies that you tell are in the same measure as the homosexual couple you just got finished talking to. The murders that are committed are in the same damn section in God's book, the book that you talk about. He puts them all in the same fire. He don't separate them because they're homosexual, because they're liars, and because they're murderers. God said, I'm going to put y'all all in the same heat. So I don't walk around telling people because you're homosexual, oh, this is the book and the book says no, because I realize that I fall short in everything that I do in life.
Okay, well, let me ask this question. Okay, since you done gave that great speech, and this kind of will roll right into our topic of the day, would you want your child looking at that minister up there that you know is homosexual, it's homosexual, and God says homosexuality is ungodly, would you want that your child to look at that person as a role model and emanate what he's doing?
Okay.
No.
Yeah. Oh, so this is the subject of today, homosexuality, right?
No.
It's about role models, but I just rolled it into that.
Okay. My thing I wanted to say is that, yeah, I did bring up homosexuality and lesbian activity. I wasn't saying it, Shasta, because I don't have a problem with a person's sexual preference. Please believe me, I wasn't trying to ask that question to attack a community of a sexual preference. It was just an interesting question I thought of real quick because someone, the other guy was brought up, and Mr. Eric brought up gay pastor, and I wanted to, you know, see how it, because a lot of people feel uncomfortable about, you know, people in big roles in society and leadership roles, and they're lesbian and gay. Now, me, myself, personally, I don't have a problem with a man or a woman that's a lesbian or he's gay running the president, being president of the United States. You know, who knows how many other presidents have been in the closet about that situation. So as long as you qualify and you can run the country perfectly and the best of your ability, ain't nobody trying to kill nobody from another country coming over here trying to dictate and take over the world. Now, as far as a pastor, I'm still, like, confused and don't really know which way to go with that about a gay pastor. We don't have a comment.
Well, you know, Big Chris, I respect you for your honesty and everything, you know, and it's good you feel the way you feel about it. Everybody's entitled to their own personal feelings, but me, no thanks. I'm against
even
it. I'm going to be against it, and I'm going to stay against it in any stance.
Yeah.
I'll be on this island all by my fucking self.
I love women, but it's just, hey, that's what you chose. You want to sleep with another man. You a man. You want to sleep with another woman. And you a woman. Hey, do your thing. You know, let's network and start together or something. I don't know. You know, so I ain't gonna just push you away because of your preference or who you want to be with that makes you happy.
Okay. Well, you know, we weren't doing this conversation to try and jump on anybody. That's not our intent. But I was just putting a question. I was putting another question out there because, regardless, it's something we do have to take a look at because it's happening right in front of us. So, you know, and it's the same as someone not being happy with what's going on in one church, so they're going to open a storefront church to preach and teach what they want to preach and teach. But does that make it right? No. So I'll go back, Shasta, to my question before.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want your child to emanate that gay pastor up there and look at him as a role model, him or her as a role model?
Okay. I'm going to have to piece that up. And you're going to have to let me talk.
Why you got to piece it up?
I'm going to piece it up because of this reason.
No, it's a yes or no. There is no piecing. Yes or no.
Yeah. Okay, it is.
No, you're trying to tap dance around it. Yes or no?
How are you going to tell me how to answer?
Because it's a yes or no question.
Can you just let me answer without telling me how to answer, though?
It's a yes or no question.
But I don't even want you to tell me how to answer because you're telling me how to answer a question you asked.
Yes or no?
Now I sound like Mike.
Because you're about to go into this big spiel and all this, but it comes down to it. Do you or don't you want your child to emulate and look at that person up there in the pulpit that's gay as a role model?
If you're not going to let me answer it my way, then I'm the wrong person for you to ask.
Go ahead and answer it, Chef. Go ahead and answer it. You're tap dancing, though, but go ahead and answer it.
Of course I would not want my child to directly emulate being homosexual just because someone else is doing it. If my child chooses to be homosexual, I want that to be something that was your interest, something that you chose to do, something that you understand is a life change for you, not because you've seen someone else do it. So, no, I wouldn't want my child to emulate homosexuality without understanding what herself or himself is doing. Now, as far as what I want my child to emulate the goodness that that person was putting out, maybe so. Just because this person is homosexual doesn't make him a bad person. Doesn't mean the person ain't living their life right. Doesn't mean the person doesn't pay their tithes. Doesn't mean they don't help the homeless. It doesn't mean a lot of things. It doesn't make the person a bad person because they were homosexual. So that was a two-part. No, I wouldn't want my child to emulate homosexuality without understanding what exactly my child was getting into and what they want for themselves. But at the same time, I can't say I wouldn't want my child to emulate the goodness of what that person was putting off. And I imagine if you're leading any sort of group, that it would be something positive, which made you a leader in the first place.
You know what, Shasta? You jumping back and forth on the fence, over the fence, back to the fence, on top of the fence.
Call it what you want to
call it. No. You said it right the first time, no. And what you're saying is homosexuality is a choice then.
Yeah.
Okay, so if homosexuality is a choice and your child is looking at him, whether he, you know, it hasn't made it his mind, he looks at that person, now they're doing good. In your words, they're doing good. So he says, well, you know what, I know he's gay, but he's doing good things. But yet he's telling us, thus says the Lord, but he's not telling that the life he's living is no good. But in the same token, it's okay for your child to look at him as a role model then, because he's still doing good.
I'm gonna just listen and I'm gonna stay out this conversation.
No, don't run. Don't run. Let's go.
If you're against gay people, then you're gonna have a problem with anything I say.
I'm not against gay people. I don't care less one way or another. You know, they don't. You know, but I'm asking you a question. Don't run. Don't run, Shasta.
But you sound homophobic.
Well, whatever, Negro.
What that word mean, anyway?
Whatever.
He's afraid of the influence that someone that is attracted to the same person and the same. He's afraid of the influence they may have. Because I'm with a woman, I'm going to influence you in a negative way because I choose behind closed doors to be with a woman. I don't think I want to judge you based off your sexuality right off anyway. If I was getting to know you, is that Eno that's on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay, Eno and Chris, if I was getting to know y'all, yeah, I wouldn't want to judge you based off your sexuality right away. I would like to meet you and say, hey, how you doing, Chris? You seem like a really nice guy. That's awesome. I'm glad you're doing these things in your life. I wouldn't want you to come on right off and say, you know what, hi, my name is Chris, and I'm gay. Now, if you chose to come off that way, so be it. But I don't want you to feel like I'm judging you based off how you choose to do things behind the doors at your house.
Well, you know, something that was said to bring this back around full circle for me because, you know, the thing is, according to the scripture, the fallen one will come to you as an angel of light. Everything looks great. Everything looks wonderful. Oh, he's such a good person. He's great. All this and all of that. But all still and yet, the little small things that you never pay attention to, those are the ones that will be the most important. You know, so, you know, everybody look at how they want to, you know. Maybe you have this gay person that, oh, yeah, they hip out in the community. They do this and they do that and all that. All of those work will amount up to nothing the day they die.
All right. Let me bring Goofy in. I'm sure Goofy has something he wants to say. All right, Mr. Goofy, what's going on, man?
Good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. Since I always mess it up. I say if you have a feeling that that person is going to, you know, affect your, you know, your children's, you know, way of thinking, then stay away from it. we all know there's thousands and thousands of churches in a city. I mean, seriously, there's like the same amount of churches as there are liquor stores.
Yeah.
There's different churches preaching the same word, but you got to watch out that sometimes there's ones that want to preach their version. And that's why I stick with myself, a Bible, and maybe an hour and a half of time to just sit there and listen to what I'm reading and, you know, talking to God. You don't need a big old church to have that relationship. You just need the good book. But as of influences, you know, a lot of people, you know, look at something and say, oh, that's cool, I want to be like that. I remember years ago when I was a little tyke, I remember I wanted to be a fireman. Now I don't even give a shit about that. I don't even know what the hell I am now, but I mean, I you know, I wanted to be something, you know, many moons ago, but it's just how the parents, you know, choose to explain, you know, why is that preacher some, you know, gay, or, you know, you have to explain why things happen so your kids could understand.
Hmm.
What was that?
You know, everything except how to live.
But that goes back to me explaining. That goes back to what I said. Okay, Mr. Eric asked me, would I want a gay parishioner to have an influence over my child, basically.
And no, I said that gay pastor standing over there in the pulpit. That's what I said.
Okay.
Well,
so
I wouldn't, I'll be honest, you want my answer? I wouldn't want a gay pastor. First off, I mean, that sounds wrong in itself. I mean, the good book always says that, you know, those people tend to go down the pike, you know, down the pipe, you know, all the way down. And burn. You know, unfortunately, my sister had to go that route, so she's going to burn. But she won't be alone, because I will be there. I've done so many bad things in my life where I could say, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to heaven.
Shit.
I mean, a lot of people have. I mean, I haven't seen a decent person, like a real, you know, straight-edge decent person in about almost 20 freaking years.
Can I ask a question real quick to everybody?
Yeah.
Based on if I say I'm homosexual to everyone on the line, based on my homosexuality, does that make me any less of a good person? Whatever good means to you in your life right now, because I tell you I'm homosexual, does that make me any less of a good person? Does that make me any less intelligent?
No. That's your problem. You have to live that life. Just because what we think shouldn't infect you in any sort of way. You're the one living it. Why do you care what people think?
Right.
Well,
so I'm making a point.
To answer your question.
Go ahead.
To answer your question. First, as far as that's concerned, if I didn't know then, hey, I wouldn't have an answer. But if I were to find that out, then, to be honest with you, I really wouldn't want to have anything to do with you at all. That's me. You know, see, when you decide that you say, well, you know what, I'm going to live for the Most High. I'm going to walk as Christ walked. Then you draw a line in the sand. And when you say, well, okay, well, you know, and I'll just use one example. Oh, well, it's okay to eat a little pork here and there. Then you move your line back just a little bit. Oh, well, you know, it's okay to lie about this. Just a little white lie. You move your line back just a little bit more. I remember when black people in the black churches were arguing over somebody thinking they're going to come up in here with a short dress on. Now they arguing over, well, are we going to let this punk be our preacher or what? You see how far the line has been moved back? You start with
something
very small. Go ahead.
Uh, you just said, you know, if that was something that you knew, that wouldn't be a person that you dealt with. Just because of your belief and how you feel that it makes you in the right to refuse a wrong. So you feel like if I say no to this wrong, the way that the book says, it makes me right. But I go back to what Goofy said, and I go back to everybody on this line, and if it came Judgment Day today, and we were all waving that big old book that we like to wave at people and say, oh, we go by this book.
Right.
Would any of us on this line be in the pearly gates? Would any of us be waving on the other side? Or would we
all speak for you.
Be earning his tail?
You know what?
Well, I
think Eric Jackson. I think Eric Jackson would make it through the pearly gates.
I don't know Eric well enough.
I don't know what lies that man told yesterday.
Shit. Well,
my ticket's sold already. I'm not going there.
Well, that's not all the way true. That's not all the way true. Just because you've done something in your past doesn't mean you can't repent from it. But the thing is, all this little stuff you done did in your little 29, 28 years, bro, trust me, it's people done did a whole hell of a lot more than you have. So just
I wish I was 29,
that.
28.
Let's not get off topic. All right.
The bottom line is
we're talking about role models, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the question was, would you want your child to emulate or look at to that person as a role model? That's all.
Thank you.
Well,
and I
you
said
no. Eric,
that's my.
You said,
that's what I say. I'm sorry.
You said
at
the beginning of this show, you said, and I wrote it down. I like the quote. We have figured out. And I like the quote you said at the beginning of the show. We have figured out everything except how to live.
Right.
See, this all goes into that quote, too.
Exactly.
So
that's why I'm
here looking at the quote, like,
dang. Well, I mean, Big Chris, everybody on this phone claims to be some form of religious person, right?
Yeah.
Spiritual, anyway. Okay. Do everybody on this phone agree with living in according to the Bible?
I believe.
Yes,
I believe.
I'm asking everybody. Yes or no? That's your way to live. That's your roadmap right there. That is your roadmap. That's it.
That's
everything else is a deviation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that's 613. You got 10 commandments, 613 laws.
Yeah.
That's it. And the thing is, man, you know, that's a little tight. You know what? I can do 8 of the 10, but, you know, that's not the answer. It's just 10 of them and the 613 laws. I know black people right now. I've been told, and I quote, hell, if mean Pope going to send me to hell, well, I'm just going to die and go to hell. Then. That's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my life. And you're talking about an animal that was put here to clean the earth. If something dies, it'll go there and eat it.
Mm.
But that's your roadmap right there, bro. Whether people want to accept it or not, it's just that simple. You know, all this, we living in a high-tech new society. You living in a high-tech new society if you want to. That's it.
Yeah.
You can. Shasta said she don't have a smartphone. You know, not everybody goes by all of this high-tech new society crap, you know. If that's what you choose, then that's what you choose to do. If you humble yourself and you know what's right and you choose to do what's right in lieu of saying, well, you know what, that's okay, you know. That may be my cousin, but it's okay, I'll accept it because it's my cousin. No, there's one or two. You accept it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's no thing about judging anyone because, as I said before, according to the scripture, to judge someone is to bring them to death. Just because you try to correct someone, that's different. Mm-hmm. It's all the way different.
All righty then. All right. Now, as I say, I guess we got that out. Anybody else want to comment before we get into the meat of the show?
Let's get it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you like to pour gas on a fire, man, before you actually set the big blade.
You want a little fall foul on the side.
Yeah. All right, role models. Parents versus the athletes and the music industry. Now, here's a question that I thought of as I was getting prepared for the show. And I know we always hitting the route of, you know, it's the parents' fault or whatever. But here's a twist to it. Should athletes and people in the music industry, should they, be required to be role models, or is it something that we as parents, because of their stature, put place on the athletes in the role in the music industry as role models?
It's the latter. It's the latter, of course. Parents have put this on people, on other people, you know. And I mean, hell, let's say you have a guy that goes in and he's humble and he wants to do the right thing and he wants to make great music. And he doesn't curse, but he has good flow, good rhythm, all of this stuff. And he goes in and he talks to the executives and, well, you know what, all that's good stuff, but, you know, maybe on your next album we can try that. But right now we need you to cuss and gangbang and we need you to do all of these things right now because that's what's selling. And so this person will do, just for a few dollars, they'll do a 360. And they won't even be who they are anymore. They'll be somebody else because of an image that this system needs to portray for you. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so what about the other I guess you could say, other people out there, such as actors, musicians, mechanics, truck drivers, teachers, police officers, doctors, firefighters, politicians, berry pickers, oyster shuckers, farmers, sports writers? Why don't we as parents require our kids to maybe look at some of them as role models? Why does it have to be athletes and people in the entertainment committee?
Doesn't have to be. And anyone else, I'm sorry, I don't want to cut anybody else off. Doesn't have to be. And for me to say it like this, as honestly as I can, fuck a athlete, fuck a football player, baseball player, singer. My daddy influenced me in the best way I know possible to be a man, to be, you know, a productive part of society, to be caring. All of these things that you would expect for an adult to do in nurturing a child. My daddy did all of that, and my mama, and my aunt and uncle. I don't need Michael Jordan or Michael Jackson, either one.
I don't think it's required what the question was about on that. I don't think it's required for athletes or the local grocery store owner or none of these people to be mentors or to be role models. I'm my children's role model and their mentor, and that is all they need. They watch and see what I do, and if I mess up, then I'm accountable and responsible for the outcome of what they do. Not Michael Jordan or the dentist or the guy who owns a dentist clinic or the health clinic or the owner of a big chain of restaurants, whatever. See, they can be a role model, but if they mess up, they don't have to apologize or look at my children's face every day. If anything, I'm the one trying to uplift, and I don't want to be put in a predicament where I'm trying to uplift their spirit because of the role models that they see outside the household has been caught up in some kind of scandal, and now they're sad and disappointed in them. You know, no, that's a big setup to me, trying to make somebody outside my household a role model.
All right. I like that. You know, I'm read a quote from a guy named Robin Roberts, and he was a pitcher who made it to the Hall of Fame in baseball. And his quote was, "Most men who want their sons to be like some athlete are probably too lazy to set the proper example. They want some ball player he has read about but doesn't even know to do it. How ridiculous." So does that make any sense, what he's saying? I think it makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense. Say, like, okay, if Mr. Kobe Bryant wants to be a role model to my child and my children, okay, come to my house personally and put in the work. Okay, don't make a few commercials or get people to back you up in the media that you're the world's greatest basketball player 2-3 minutes a week. That's not no role model. And I'm a little pissed off and quite offended if a parent is trying to do that, or if my children or children are trying to say that this is my role model, who's I'm going to look up to. Damn it, even people that are in the past of black history, Harriet Tubman and Martin Luther King and all that. No, listen, I'm your role model. I'm sitting up here 3,000 hours a year in your face, making sure you're getting your horn, you're getting fed, you're getting a proper education. Even the good and bad music you're listening to, I'm there, I'm aware of it, of everything that you're doing. So, no, I'm my children's role model. I don't even want to be a role model to the children in the community. So,
wow.
Put me up like that, you know, Boys and Girls Club, I'm the mentor now and everything. All right, listen, and I was part of Boys and Girls Club about 3 years ago, and I let them know. Now, you know, when you came, I had a room full of children, about 18 of them, the boys, and a director wanted me to give a 3 to 5 minute lecture on how I want the children to get to know me in the room, and I let them know I am a mentor here. But I'm not your role model. Your parents are your role models. Them are the ones you should be looking up to. I told them that. Not me.
Wow. Anybody else got anything to say?
Well, I do.
Well, go ahead.
All right.
Chester, your line, your mic is open, too.
Okay.
My dad used to say role models are people who are surrounding you every day, not people you just see on TV. Because I remember back in the days, I used to love Hulk Hogan. You know, I wanted to be a little Hulkamaniac and stuff. But then, you know, one time I went to go see Hulk Hogan and I asked for his autograph and he dogged me. And he dogged a bunch of other kids too. And it hurt my feelings. And I was in the room crying. I think it was like probably 6. I was in the room crying, and, you know, my dad was, you know, see, these people you look up to them so much that you forget who you are. You know, if they're in the television, then my dad used to say that it's the neighborhood of make-believe, because anyone would do anything so they could be on television. You know, and I started, you know, realizing that, you know, these people that, you know, we look up to, you know, they don't give rats, you know, crap about us. Without us, they're nobodies. But yet in the other way around, they don't care. They made it. You know what I mean? They may go and you know, visit little hospitals of kids and stuff like that, but you ask some of those people nine times out of 10, they won't even remember the people's names that they went to go visit.
Hmm.
Photo ops. Yeah.
Wow.
But no, it, you know, role models, they need to be people that are around you. You know, I mean, my dad wasn't the greatest role model. You know, he was my best enemy, but he pumped me up to be who I am today. And I can't hate him for that. I actually thank him. And that's a role model, because he did what he did to as a father to, you know, put food, you know, whatever on our, you know, clothes on our back, food on the table, everything. And yet he put me through hell in order to try to bring me, you know, heaven later on.
Mm.
So and sometimes we don't even realize the role models that we have in front of us. We're too busy in fantasy land trying to, you know, look up to somebody who don't give rat's ass about you.
Wow.
And I'm done. I'm sorry, but that's
no, you're good.
That's how
you're
I
good. Okay, let me ask this question then. Some years ago, Charles Barkley came out and just straight up said, I'm not a role model. You know, he just said, okay. Now, and here's the question I want to come off of that. Is there a difference between being a role model and being an inspiration for someone? Is there a difference? And if so, what is that difference?
I see. Yes,
there's a difference.
Go ahead, Shasta.
Okay. Being an inspiration, I might be able to tell you what I've gone through or show you what I've gone through to help you realize that you can achieve the same things in your own life. You can achieve the same triumphs and feats if you work hard. That's how I can be an inspiration to you. But I cannot be a role model by telling you to be like me. I don't want you to be like me. I just want you to be inspired by some of the things I've gone through in hopes that you can get through some of the things that you're going through.
And to add on that, my dad used to always say, don't be like me, be better than me.
There you go.
You know? And I've always, you know, I've looked at things like, you know, how when I used to play baseball, they never picked on me because I was a Mexican, but yet I got on base, you know, average, you know, every time I was up to bat, I averaged, you know, I'd get on base and you know, all this stuff. But yet they didn't look at me because I was a Mexican kid. I didn't know how to play baseball. But yet once I started showing that I was better than them, oh, everybody wanted to pick me next year. And that's how everyone should think. Be better than the next man. Because that's what builds people's, you know, charisma and all that other stuff. It makes people better. You know, that makes them feel, you know, great, I guess. I don't know. I'm the wrong person to ask about a role model. I even made a song about that.
I mean, your input is very, very refreshing. Okay. Okay. All right. So,
well,
are we as parents? Go ahead, Shasta.
Oh, yeah. Have y'all seen that commercial? I don't know what basketball player it is, but it kind of relates to the situation where the basketball player He's talking to the little boy, and the little boy's like, I'm going to be like you someday, and I'm going to make more shots than you. And he's like, and I'm going to have your mom cheering for me. Do you know what I'm talking about? The little boy who's talking
football.
To the basketball
that was
player. Was it football?
That was football.
Yes,
yeah.
Football.
I'll be your mom's favorite player.
But at the same
player.
Time, there it is. I'm going to be your mom's favorite player. At the same time, it's the same thing. That's somebody that little boy was emulating, and he's just letting him know, I don't want to be you. I want to be better than you.
Mm.
So it's the same relation.
So with that, you know, I'm glad you said that, Shasta. So here's the next question up for Beats, y'all. Okay, so with that being said, are we as parents misunderstanding the way our kids are looking at these pro athletes and entertainers, as we thinking they're looking at them as role models? Are they really looking at them as inspirations instead, or is it an equal mix?
I was gonna let somebody else answer that.
No, man,
well,
they're looking at them as role models. I mean, come on now. I mean, you know, let's be for real. You ain't seen no dudes walk around with no tight-ass sissy pants on until Lil Wayne starts supposedly making this cool, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No, they looking at those people as role models. That's who I'm supposed to be like, you know. And then this little saying, YOLO, you only live once. It's foolish, but that's what they are listening to, because that's what these singers are saying, you know. You know, these people, they don't give a damn about their lives. Hey, they openly tell you, hey, you know, I snort coke and I do this and I do that or whatever. You know, I'm doing everything that I want to do, you know. And
you got
people living, trying to live up to that right there, even though a lot of them are not actually, I mean, come on now. Every rapper that I ever heard then killed, I don't know how anybody left. Every rapper I ever heard then killed everybody, you know.
Well, I'm with Chris. I happen to agree a lot with what Chris is saying in terms of this. Like, you know, you don't want your kids to look at other people to be role models. Of course, you want your children to look at you. But what was I going to say? Of course, you want your kids to look at you and emulate the things that you do. But if you take the time at home to explain to your kids the difference in what they're looking at, because it's not that you mind your kids emulating other things sometimes. That's how you learn. I guess it just depends on what you're emulating. And if I'm being an active parent in my child's life, then I know when I know what to tell them. You know what I mean? Like, say if I'm listening to music with my child, and it may not be flattering to someone else, I may have an understanding with my child to where we understand this is just music. We don't live life like this. Whereas someone else might not have that same understanding with their child, and their child looking to emulate the man with the gun in his pocket and wanting to get 20s on their ride. Me and my kid might have a whole different, you know, we might look at this totally different.
Okay. All right. Let's see. What is a role model? You know, I guess that's something we should have came up with ahead of time. So what is a role model? What constitutes someone being a role model? Anybody?
So it's someone that plays a role in someone's life. That's a role model.
Just someone that plays a role?
Yeah, you know, like someone that supports guidance. Like, say, for instance, I'm a little guy. And, you know, I listen to your show every day, Eric, because you have great things and you say great things. You know, to me, you would be a role model because I listen to you. You know, I'm listening to what you're saying, and you're guiding me into a direction of thinking.
Uh-huh.
That's a role model.
I agree.
Okay.
You're causing me to question the way that I would normally use my own brain.
The thing is, though, you would have to take into consideration what type of path is that person leading you down or would lead you down.
Right.
That determines whether they're a role model or not, because the biggest drug dealer in the neighborhood with the nice car could be considered a role model for some, but if he's leading you down a path of destruction and death, then that's really not a role model.
It's not that it doesn't make him a role model. He's just not a good role model.
Well, yeah.
It still makes him a role model because
right.
That way of thinking that person looked at him, he used it in his own life. He played that role in his own life.
Right. It played a part. So
a part,
he's
yeah.
still a role model, just not a positive one.
Yeah. There's positive, there's negative ones, and there's, a brainwashing ones. Shit. You could go into the neighborhoods over here in San Jose, you'll see the group of old ladies talking shit about the other group of old ladies. You know what I mean? And it's... It's all influenced by, you know, one old lady.
Okay, let me bring up something real quick. And it might be throwing a little wrench in it, maybe not. Who's the dude, because I have to ask people, who's the dude who, is it Lance Armstrong? Is that the dude with the, that got in trouble for using steroids? What is he, a biker dude? He rides bikes. You guys know who I'm talking about. And he has
the big
He has the big
Lance
campaign.
Armstrong.
So he has a huge
yeah.
campaign that people support him for, this huge campaign that he gets a lot of money for. So then these people find out, okay, he's done steroids. Do we still support him? Is he still a role model? Because he's always been a role model. Now we have to decide whether or not he's a good role model based on the things that he does. Doesn't make
no,
him
not.
Any less a role model.
Yes, it does. I'll tell you why. What's your girl name that came out few years ago in the Olympics and won all these medals? What's your girl name?
I know you're talking about the sprinter. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, Jackie Joyner Kersee?
No, not her. What's that other chick? I can't call the chick name, man, but they painted her to be nothing but Satan himself, and you won't see her on anything. Now, if you see her name, it's going to be disgraced. Olympic champion before anything else.
Oh, I don't mean her. Look at who I'm looking at. I'm looking at Lance Armstrong. He's on a whole other
right.
platform, and this man still has a very viable organization that people have put millions of dollars in. So there are still people who standing behind Lance Armstrong and this. What's the, I don't know if y'all are sitting beside Google, but he actually has a platform that he's on that is aside from being a cyclist. So people are actually looking at this right now and saying, do we
continue to support him? Is that Livestrong or something?
That's what
yeah,
it is. Thank
it's
you,
Livestrong.
It's Livestrong. And that is such a and it's such a positive campaign. It's very positive. And it's helped so many people. So
people
that's what I mean by him being a role model. He's still a damn role model. He's helped people aside from cycling altogether. Now, he ain't been doing the best things in his personal life, but it doesn't take away from the fact that he does have a positive influence on other people's lives.
Well, look at Michael Jackson. Look at him. Everybody sees him as the entertainer, but nobody's seen what he did on the side. He had the Guinness Book of World Records of donations, and nobody realized that. But they thought of him as the pervert, you know, the molester, you know, the guy who had the little kid sleep in the bed with him. They only looked at him as that way. And it's like a lot of people, they'll only see what sells.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like nobody gets appreciated for the goodness
that they do
in life.
Marion Jones.
They only get appreciated for the bad things they do.
Right.
You know? And it's fucked up in this world, but that's how we have to play by these rules.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know, that's partially true.
If they put a camera on you, if you're in the media's eye and you're on commercials, and you got shoes, and you got a clothing line, you're a role model for somebody. Somebody's child is watching you. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's trying to see what it took for you to get to where you are. So a lot of times I look at these celebrities who say, oh, I'm not a role model, and I want them to fix their mouth. Because although you might not want to be a role model, you have earned a platform. Now you have a platform to where the public is looking at you. And if you have children the way that I have children, you realize that you stand for something. So I'm going to need you to watch the way that you're talking, the way that you're doing things, because you realize as a person with a platform that you have an influence on other people. So you are
really
a damn role model.
I don't really agree with that. And I'll tell you why, because, I mean, Kobe Bryant, basketball player, shoot a ball through.
He's a role model.
Dunk. You can get – If you've ever been to the circus, you've seen seals and monkeys and apes and all of this stuff do tricks too. So those animals are not role models. Kobe Bryant.
Okay, but we're talking about people.
Come on, man.
We're talking about people, G.
I'm putting it out there how it is. No. When you sit back and you say, well, because this person has this or have that, then they supposed to do this and they supposed to do No. All they're going to do is collect their money at the end of the day.
You're not understanding me, though. When you become an entertainer and you enter into the media platform to where worldwide people are watching you, when you speak and the world is stopping when you do something, you have become a role model. I think you need to embrace what you've become and watch what you do, because you realize that someone somewhere is watching you. They're emulating you somewhere.
They don't care no more. They really don't care no more. Back in the days, like in the 80s, they cared. But look at Magic Johnson. And then nobody looked at him as the bad guy for going out cheating on his wife with all these women.
And catching AIDS.
And catching, you know, HIV. No, he's the good guy. He's over here, you know, promoting, you know, this and that and that and this.
He wasn't married.
You know what
He wasn't married when all that was going on. He wasn't married when all that was going on.
We still look him at it. We still look at him as a role model.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, now they look at him as a role model as far as entrepreneurs.
That's it. Yeah,
that's it. You know, I mean, when I was growing up, I liked basketball. But, you know, while I think about it, like I said, my daddy was my role model. I can't speak for everybody else, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, how about, here go two people I'm going to bring up. How about Honey Boo Boo and Kim Kardashian? Would they be considered a role model?
Hell no.
Wait a minute. That goes against what you just said.
I'm going to say everybody's a role model, so they're role modeling for somebody, but I wouldn't want them role modeling for mine.
If they made it on TV, they're a role model.
Right, for somebody.
Okay, because no just regular schmo just comes on TV without a backing.
Look,
you
they're
know?
Role modeling. They role modeling for, tell you who they're role modeling for. This Honey Boo Boo, I heard that name before, and Kim Kardashian. The whole Kardashian family is role modeling for the Kardashian family.
Right, for people with money.
In
no,
their family.
See,
okay, I
see there's girls out there, shit, I fuck a couple of chicks that try to look like Kim Kardashian.
And they don't care. Kardashians are role modeling for their own family members. Now, how many families doing that? They quick to have a role model outside the family before somebody inside their own family. The Kardashians are smart enough to get all the family members and start their own damn show.
No, that mom was smart enough to pimp out all those fucking daughters. You know what I mean?
So,
she pimped those daughters out to go out there and get some cash. And now look at them.
Who, the mother?
She must have pimped out
one
of
the mother
daughters.
Did. The mother's the manager. She manages all these broads.
Yeah,
and
what?
One
because
of them
in the family,
starred in a sex tape and became famous from that. That's the only way we know her.
Yeah, and the mother went, oh, check this out. Look, we're going to keep this in the family. Fuck out of here.
Good, man. We're going to get Kanye in here because he got some more money to add to the money that we got.
They mama told them to whatever they do, make sure that they marry a rich man.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them did. They did. Lamar Odom and Kanye West.
Yeah, but that. Oh, okay. That's
they win.
Yeah, but it just shows how foolish they are because so much more to life. I mean, you look at how Lamar Odom's career went because he got traded. I mean, come on, huh? It's much more to life than you marrying, you being his exclusive pretty hoe, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah, but he's
he
still making some cash, though, right?
Man, we talking about the hoe on his arm. Fuck his money. We talking about the hoe on him. That's who we talking about.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. Hold on. Let me bring 510 in and see what he do it. Dude, 510, you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay, because I'm driving. That's why.
Oh,
anyway,
okay.
I've been listening a little to your conversation, and so, you know, there's a lot of discussion about what is a role model, who is, who isn't, who should be, who shouldn't be. I'd like to start off maybe to define what does role model mean. What does role mean, and what are you, and then what role are you talking about? Are you talking about the role in public life, the role in private life, the role as a basketball player, the role as a mother, the role as a fundraiser? And what are you going to model yourself after? Everyone is human. Everyone makes mistakes. No one's infallible. So should someone's totality of their whole life be looked at and then determine whether they will be a role model or not? But I think we need to start with defining what exactly is a role model. What does that mean?
Okay, what do you think it means?
I'm just asking the questions just for discussion.
Yeah.
And that's all.
I'm going to listen. Eric, you asked that question. Well, y'all ain't found a definition yet.
Everybody, I thought everybody did the definition.
I thought we did.
That's unnecessary.
Well, okay.
It's like a veiled attack, and it's not necessary. I called in just to cast some light on the subject matter and not to get into a verbal battle. I don't have the energy or the time or the interest in that.
Oh, I don't think anybody was going to bash. Was y'all going to bash?
I said a verbal battle.
No, who's bashing?
Right.
I'm good.
I'm going to hang up and listen. That's it.
Okay.
Yes,
all right, you're going to hang up and listen? I mean, you're supposed to join the show.
All right. Well.
All right.
Well, let's see. So, yeah, what you were saying about.
What was you saying,
with
Eric?
Huh?
What was you saying?
I don't know. I could have gotten and lost them without a plan.
Well, what were we talking about, y'all?
Last thing about, you know, the Kardashians and, you know.
Y'all talking about them whore-ass Kardashians. That's what y'all talking about.
Oh.
Like I said, we was talking about the whole one, Lamar Odom arm, you know what I'm saying? You know, oh, yeah, he got cash, he got cash. We ain't talking about the cash he got. We talking about the hole he got.
The hole is
gone. Yeah, her mama told her, hey, you know what I'm saying? You do what you need to do to get a man with money. How about, hey, girl, you find yourself some happiness with somebody that's going to make you whole. Not somebody that's going to make sure you got a bunch of money. See, that's bullshit.
But you know what, though? And I'm a woman, and that's sad. But there are women who tell their kids that. Ain't that sad to be a woman and know that women tell they daughters that?
That's sad.
Girl, find you one with some money, girl. Find you one. Like, damn, that's all the advice you going to give me about a man? Is find me one with some money? What if he beat my ass for the money?
Just stick through it, girl. Stick through it. Every man has got his father. Okay.
So does that make the parent a bad role model? Is that what it is? Oh, she's just telling him go out there and find anybody. It doesn't matter. What type of example?
Yeah, that make her a bad role model because you're not guiding me anymore.
Yeah, it makes
her a
bad role
model.
Now
you're just telling me
model.
To go find somebody for material means, for something tangible that you feel like you can hold.
What happens is, because the child doesn't know. Okay, I listen, mommy, that's cool. What makes the parent a bad role model is after the fact, you know, 10, 15 years later, you look back like, you know what? Damn, you messed up my life really bad. My life is all messed up listening to you. Okay, I'm with this millionaire, but I'm getting my ass whooped every night. You know, he's on drugs. You know, my life is a mess, but I got anything I want in the world. Everything is, money is no object. So,
I guess we could talk about in reference to role models because everybody's saying what's the definition. I guess we can bring out a good role model and a bad role model. For example, a bad role model, a parent who has a gambling problem. I grew up, I've been seeing you go to the casino. I've seen you go to bingo. I've seen you go to any damn thing that's the money going to come out of that you gambling. So you've gambled all your damn life, and you've been my role model. You're my mom, remember? You're supposed to be my role model. Now, as I get older, I realize that I have a problem keeping any paychecks because I'm going to the bingo hall every damn time that it opens. See where you became a bad role model? I watched you, I emulated you, and that became not so good for me.
Okay, we're back to the original question. Who is the role model if the parents are not?
Then I guess we have to look. Then I guess that's where these athletes and other people come from. Their child is reaching out for something else to emulate because obviously it ain't so hot to emulate what's at home.
And this whole thing kind of reminds me of the chick that says, I stripped my way through college. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you got a chick that actually went and worked. You know what I'm saying? Went and worked and did everything that she had to do respectable, you know, to pay her way through school and everything. But then you got this motherfucker that, oh, yeah, I'm going to sell some pussy to make my way through. Oh, yeah, I'm going to shake my ass to make my way through. I'm going to do whatever it takes, you know. And then you got younger chicks that watching her, looking at her. Oh, you paying your way through school, huh? You
right.
don't need a BMW for school. You don't need a fucking Prada bag, a new Prada bag every week. Every 2 or 3 weeks for school. What do you mean you're paying your way through? You hoeing, that's all you're doing, but you covering it up,
right.
You're masking it with school.
Right.
You're right.
Interesting. I'm not disagreeing.
Oh. Well, we had somebody waiting, but I guess they couldn't wait too much longer. Okay. Wow. That is very interesting.
So we named negative role models. What about good role models?
No, listen. What about someone outside of the nuclear family, you know, how about the extended family, uncle, niece, cousin? I mean, could somebody take the place of the parent as the role model for the kid? Or is that just reaching a little
Absolutely.
Bit too far?
Absolutely. I mean, anybody that has access to whooping that ass can be a good role model.
If you got access to being able to whoop my child ass, you can be a good role model.
Whoever got access to whooping that ass, you and something else.
Yeah, hell, you, Chap, do you have sisters or brothers? You have siblings? Do you have siblings? Chap, do you have siblings?
Yes, sir. I'm one of 16.
Okay, you one of 16. Okay, now, let's say at least five of those other siblings are responsible adults that only want the best for your child. Now,
okay.
Would you let them whoop your child's ass?
If she wrong, yeah.
That's what I'm asking right there. Now, if they doing all these things right to try to be a good role model to say, well, you know, my uncle so-and-so, he don't get in no trouble. He do what he's supposed to, blase, blase. Now, yes, that could be a damn good role model.
You not just because you beat my child ass, though.
No. Now, see, that's something that goes way deeper than just being a role. If you let somebody put their hands on your child, then that means a hell of a lot. That's taking it way deep right there. You know, it's okay for Miss Johnson at the church. Oh, well, she has a good job, and she's always smiling when you see her, and she never says anything negative. You ain't going to let that bitch hit your daughter. Real talk.
Yeah, I feel you.
Okay, but your sister or your brother that's doing right by you and you everything that you see them doing that you know they're doing is right, hey, you know, if little Shaniqua is fucking up, whoop her ass. You know what I'm saying? Let's be real.
You said little Shaniqua.
Let's be real. Yeah.
Whoop that ass. He is so
well, you chapter, so she might be Pepsi. Who knows?
I'll whoop ass because, you know, y'all know
so,
from past conversations how I feel.
We already
y'all
know that.
How I feel.
Mm-hmm. We already
but
know that.
I feel you, though.
Yeah, you can have an outside nucleus to be a very, very influential part of your child's life, man.
Okay. I was just making sure. I mean, you know, we went to the entertainers and the athletes, but I was just curious about, you know, the family.
Man, I'm entertaining.
If the parents aren't, you know, being one, can't the child, you know, look for somebody else within? In other words, why do our kids have to go side of our family to find role models?
They don't have to. They don't have to. Society is set up to where the glorification goes to the basketball player, the person that's on television. I tell people all the time, right there in Baton Rouge, if you bring a scientist in there that says, hey, I have for free a cure for any form of cancer that anyone has, the media won't be there. The news won't be there. You won't have a full stadium. But if you bring Michael Jordan there or Beyonce there, you won't have a place to seat everybody. You know.
Hmm.
So the people that's getting all this publicity, they shouldn't be getting it because it's just entertainment. It's like going to the racetrack. You go out there and you see people racing their cars, and then you go home. That's the way it should be left.
And you know, the former center for the New York Knicks, Patrick Ewing, said the same thing. He said, "It's a shame. It really is. I make all this money, run up and down the court for a couple of hours. You know, a night playing basketball." And there are doctors and lawyers and people that come up with cures for ailments, sicknesses, and you hear nothing about them. I mean, but I'm going to take the role. Yeah, am I wrong for taking all this money for playing this game like this? No, they gave it to me. I'm going to take it. But he didn't before he retired. He said that, like, you know, Dad, it is crazy. This is a shame that I'm getting paid more money than people who save lives every day.
Well, I'm
taking our perception of what a role model should be is kind of tainted a little bit.
Kind of what?
Tainted. In other words, we're looking in the wrong places to find role models.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, people look at their dad as just being their daddy. You know what I'm saying? You know, this, you know, that's, you know, that's just my daddy. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Nothing spectacular. Even though he's keeping the lights on, feeding you, keeping clothes on you, making sure that, you know, you got some of the things that you want out of life, as opposed to this entertainer that's there predominantly just to take money, take away from you. I mean, hey, you're going spend $175 to get some nosebleed seats to see this person for a couple of hours. That's taken from you. You got a little entertainment, but, you know, that's like, you know, taking a girl on a date and spending up a bunch of money, getting a kiss at the end and nothing else, you know. You wasted your time.
Wow.
That's all it is.
That's all it is, huh?
That's all it is. It's a little entertainment just to say you went somewhere. That's all. But your dad, like I say, your dad or your uncle or somebody positive that's bringing that role model stance, say, hey, you know what? I may not be on television, but hey, I'm constant. I'm you know, I'm all the time. I stay
right
the way I am. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right.
You know, when you become a parent, like I said yesterday, when you become a parent, there are a lot of things, a lot of foolish things that you have to give up. You have to, whether you want to or not. You know, maybe you used to go out and get drunk every weekend, and then you found out that you had a child on the way, or you was, you know, you was pregnant, or you had a child already that you didn't know about. As soon as you find this out, there are some life changes that you should make. Because now you have someone standing behind you saying, well, what's next? What's next? What do I do next? You know, I'll soon be in your shoes. What do I do to get there? You know what I'm saying? If this makes sense.
Right. Okay.
So I just
say this.
Come on. Come back.
I said, oh, it makes plenty of sense to me.
Yeah.
It really does. Wow.
What? You mean right. Hell? Yeah, me and my wife was just in the Walmart parking lot. You had a man look 40 years old, all four windows down, music as loud as it'll go, you know, hat throwed over across his head. That's not it. I just have to call you what I see. You're a fucking idiot. You fucking 40 years old. You're a fucking idiot. I mean, you know, that shit is for them kids, them children that's 18, 20, 23 years old, you know what I'm saying? You know, come a point where you gotta step back away from that stuff and say, you know what? This ain't even what my mama done brought me here for. If I'm this old and I'm still doing this dumb shit, you know, I mean, if it makes sense what I'm saying.
Right. Okay. All right. Wow. That's some good stuff, man. That's some good stuff. Hey, Chris, you got anything you want to add to that? I ain't heard you in a minute. You still there? Okay, maybe not. Chef?
I'm listening.
Oh, okay. Hey, all right. Well, man, me and you, this will me and you started, me and you can finish. It don't matter.
Okay. So
y'all like I said the other day, look, men talking and they tell the truth, she listening.
Here he goes. Stop it.
So okay. So let's really begin to wrap this up for him. Okay, so the first question was, as parents, are we putting too much emphasis on letting inventors and athletes be role models to our kids? Is it our fault? Are we pushing our kids toward that?
Yes.
So yes to that. Okay.
My answer is yes.
All right. Your answer is yes. Shasta? Okay. She's still listening again. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So the answer is yes to that.
Well, let me ask you a question, Mr. Paul.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I mean,
go ahead.
You know, okay, my question to you is, if your son came to you and said, Daddy, you know, Kobe Bryant has these new shoes out. I think I'll be a better athlete if you buy me those Kobe Bryant shoes. How would you handle that?
I would tell him no. Look, my child will tell you already, Daddy don't buy Jordans. And he plays ball like crazy. And he'll tell you in a heartbeat, you know, and I know you ain't going to buy no Jordans, but those look nice. Mm-hmm, you right. They do.
Yeah.
But you know your daddy. I'm not buying you no Jordans. Because, like, you know, we didn't have this conversation. The shoe does not make the player.
There
you
go.
Your skill is what makes you.
That's
you know, it's just that simple. And, I mean, me and my child, yeah, he just pretend, but we have an understanding. You know, he knows what I will do and what I won't do, what I will have, what I won't buy. You know, and he said, you know, like, his big thing was, because he has older brothers, so his big thing was 2 Chainz. And I'm like, okay, so who are 2 Chainz? I said, you know, and he told me, I said, so what is 2 Chainz about? Because you have to talk like they do something. What's 2 Chainz about? I don't know. So why are you yelling 2 Chainz then? It's ever since then, I haven't heard anything about 2 Chainz.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's one of those things, if you sit down and talk to them, I'm sure, you know, kids will come around.
Right. When you get to the core of the situation, you'll find out exactly what's
right.
They'll find out what's, you know. I always, you know, I asked a question before, and no one could seem to answer other than the people that's in the know. You know, this little, all these little pyramid thing, hand signs they're doing in this little devil hand sign. I asked before, what does George Bush, you being the person that I'm talking to in front of me, you commoner, President Obama, their wives and all these stars and shit have in common with this little devil sign, this little devil horn sign. What do you have in common with those people? Because those people have money, and they know things that you'll never know. But you're throwing up all of these hand signs that they're throwing up. You got grown people doing this. So you're talking about role models. Grown people want role models.
The sign that you're talking about, sir, with the hand gesture that they use, they put the left and the right hand together, and they
that's
like
one.
Right. Okay. How would you know, or do you know exactly for sure? What is it that you're sure of that it's a devil worshiping signal?
I didn't say that. I said that was a pyramid. I said the little horn.
A pyramid.
Sign.
Okay,
that's
the horn, and then they throwing up the fingers and spreading out their fingers and with the horn thing.
You ask me, and I'll tell you. You had an entertainer, Jack Black, said out of his own mouth, "Let's all worship Satan right now," and threw this sign up, said, "Everyone throw the sign up and let's worship Satan." You can sit back and try to ponder over all of that you want to or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's you, but. Me, I'll stay on the side of the dumb country boy, and hey, if that's what that's supposed to mean, then I don't want to have shit to do with it. You know, just because you got everybody doing it, everybody, oh, yeah, it makes it right. Everybody's jumping off the bridge. Go ahead. Do what you want to do. I don't know a damn thing about what these stars are throwing up, and I can tell you. If you're on the outside looking in, I can tell you from being a 32nd degree Mason. If you're on the outside looking in, you don't know a damn thing about what you see. You may think you do, but you don't. Former Mason.
Yep.
So you were 30. Hold on.
Oh. I was.
Oh, go ahead, Chris.
Oh, I was asking.
I got
he was. He already said
okay.
He was a 32nd degree Mason. Okay. Yeah.
All right, let me bring 111 in.
That's
all. Ooh. Oh, okay. Don't get me started on Masons. Oh, my. All right, 111, you're on the air.
Hey. What's up, you guys? I'm just tuning in. How you doing?
Whoa, Mike.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up? Y'all talking about Mason
me
today, huh?
Oh,
y'all talking about Mason.
No,
no,
no.
I
didn't
want to
get into that. No,
we
wasn't. No.
We're talking about influence.
Yeah. Influence and role models.
Uh-huh.
Well, everybody influences everybody. Everybody's a role model. I mean, these terminologies, there's no such thing. That's why, I mean, you'll have somebody, what is a role model? There's no such thing. You have your children. I don't want my children to be just like me. That's another image. Your children has to look around the world and decide what they're going to be. I want to be like Mike. I want to be like Mike. It's totally psychology taking over your kids when you have something like that. And they're doing that to make money. But we're talking about a role model, a role image. Listen, your children should look at you and see what they want to come out of you. You don't say, well, I have something in me that I know my son may have in them, and I'm going to make him play football. That's how the children, these images is. You know, since you played football, now you want your child to live your image, and you're going to make him play football. He may not like playing football. Do you see what I'm saying? Another role. These role models is, there's no such thing as one. You don't want nobody, a model. You mean you want somebody to structure and be like something? You can't look up to another image. If you look up to another image and try to be that image, you will always contradict yourself. That's a fact. That's not an opinion. You will always. So there's things that we can tell our kids, look, this is the way to do something like that, but you're not going to try to change them into their image. They may, it's different routes to go to different places. If they want to be a success, it's a different route. They might not go a particular route like you did.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to watch out for this image. When you say role models, you want someone to be a certain image. You don't be no image. You try to find yourself. I had to shake myself out of being in somebody's image. We adults, they're trying to live out somebody's image. They're trying to live and say they're a certain image, but they never live up towards themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Marion Barry.
Okay.
Role model. He was a good role model, people thought, till they saw him smoking crack.
Right, and that's a danger in having a role model, because that person that you call a role model, that human being just like you. See, when you look up to somebody and as a role model, like a preacher does, people expect them that they God on earth. And when they do something human, just like everybody else, oh, I couldn't believe it, because you looked up to him that you shouldn't never did. You're trying to be another image. Every time, this is a fact in actuality. I know y'all don't like it. This is a fact. Every time, I don't care, your kids, me, if I live up to another image, I will always contradict myself. I can't. I will always be in chaos and confusion. Always.
Let me ask you a question, man. Now, are you living in a lifestyle that your sons could look at you and say, you know what, my dad is a good role model for me?
I consider it a good, but hold up, listen, this is my point. That I tell you one thing, I'll guarantee everybody on this phone, there's something that you do in your life that you're working on that you don't want your fucking children to do. That's a fact. Every adult has something that they're working on that they don't want their children to emulate, that they do.
No one said anything different, man.
Right. So,
the parent can't be the ultimate role model. You're saying you don't want your kids to be exactly like you.
Nobody
said that my child have to be exactly like me. But as far as saying, well, hey, you know what, my daddy set a good image as to a person that I should aspire to be somewhat like.
And what is
that? My child don't have to be a carbon copy of me, no.
Right. Well, because guess what? I like the college, but my children may not want to go to college. He may want to go to a trade school. I say, man, you go to college. That's my image that I'm putting on him. He's saying, no, I want to go to a trade school. I don't want to go to the four-year college. I just want to go get a certificate and get my job.
Okay.
I can't get mad at him and say, oh, no, because I want him to be another image. So I went to college. I got my degree. Well, I'm going to go look. He may not do that. What do you want to do, son?
I'll go with it. Anything positive.
Right. But
don't
see,
have any
but
problem
see,
with that.
Right, but see, you know what? He may want to. Let's say my son want to grow up and be like 2 Chainz and be a gangster rapper. But do it. But he wants to be a gangster rapper. But you know, he's doing. He want to make it. Should I support him? He's not. I don't want. I didn't know that he was going to do that. What am I doing as a parent when they say I don't? Instead of going to college, I want to become a rapper or I got a producer. What am I doing to parent? Well, you should do that. You ain't going to make more money. You're not living the image that I want you to live up when you grow up. And then turn my back away from them. Or I say, well,
oh,
you know what? Or do I say, you know what? You need to take some college courses for some music industry. Instead of rejecting him and saying, oh, you want to be a rapper? That's fool. No, okay, if you're going to be a rapper, okay, so let's sit down. If you want to be a rapper, if that's your success, well, what is your path? Let's talk about your path. Do you know about the industry? Start talking to them, and then maybe they say, well, wow. Well, maybe I need to go and do something. I don't know. But you still need to be supportive. As long as my kids don't do nothing illegal, I got to support them. If they ain't doing nothing, keep their asses in jail, I'm going to support them.
But, Mike, of course. So, Michael.
I hope they don't do that. I hope they don't take no choice to be a rapper, but, you know.
Michael, would you give them that advice? Isn't that like... you are being a role model because you're showing them the right path to take.
No,
so
yo, giving someone advice. Look, you know, giving
well,
someone.
Are you being an inspiration?
An inspiration? What do you mean?
One or the other, man. Don't tap dance, shit.
No, I don't know. Tell me, what do inspiration mean?
You just say good things to make the day throughout the day and keep them motivated. That's inspiration. That's
yeah.
Inspiration. You keep them motivated. Are you telling
yeah,
them that
your
word? Then having
oh, yeah,
motivated
yes, exactly. Exactly, you can yes, you can motivate somebody, but motivation comes within. I can motivate outside, but if he doesn't try to motivate, motivation comes within. Sometimes that's why when you tell your kids to do something, they may not be motivated to do it because they don't have no motivation within. You have to find something that was in them to go to motivate.
You need to cut your lights is either on or off.
So, there's no clear definition of a role model.
There's no clear definition.
Never. Can't. Because you don't want, I can't point to nobody in the world and say, child, be just like him. Can't. I can't point to my child and say, child, be just like me.
What if your child comes to you and says, Daddy, I want to be like Flavor Flav?
And I said, okay, let's talk about it. I already gave you my example. When I gave you an example about hip-hop, I already gave you my example about if he wanted to be a hip-hop star. I already gave you my example. Let's sit down and talk about it. What are you talking about? Do you know what you're talking about?
Not only
that, you know, let's sit down and talk about it, but if the child is coming to the parent with this vision or this dream, even if they don't even have a clue how to get started.
But if it's not illegal, if it's nothing illegal, you support them.
To say, all right then, how serious are you? Let's see if we can find some networks in the community. To get you on the right road. You know, don't just throw it all on the child. Well, you know, you got to go to school. Because nowadays, 9 times out of 10, no, you ain't got to go to school to get entertainment.
No. See, what I'm saying, look, I use my example about him coming to, and this is like Flavor Flav, of him coming a hip-hop star. What I'm saying is I'm giving them options. And I'm letting him know that if he wants to take that options, first of all, I say if you want to be in the industry, people that the producers and people that you don't see, they make the most money. The people that you see on TV, they don't make the most money. I sit down and talk to him about that, and I would let him know, yes, you can go in the industry, but you can take some classes to enhance some things. So some more education, that would I would help him. But if they're not doing nothing illegal and if they want to do something, I have to support them as a parent. Have to. If I think it's the wrong way or not, I'm trying to change that person's image, and it's going to be a battle. No, they're going to be down. They're saying they're selling drugs and all that type shit. No. That's totally something different, y'all.
No.
That's totally something different.
The person, the parent needs to take a little bit of take action in, be a little bit more active with their child's vision. They say, I want to be playing with you. All right. Well, let's get into some, let's see, what are you doing right now, you know, as far as talent shows or any of your friends doing this, you know, get together.
Exactly.
You know, get involved. See what Flavor Flav did to get started, because he damn sure didn't get into no, I know the history of Public Enemy. You know, I was there, actually, to a sense of, to a certain degree. I know what's up. He ain't getting no school. He ain't had no parents to tell him what to do. It's, most of the time, when you get into this, into that business, if you're not going to school, you just happen to be at the right place at the right time, and what's his name, know what's his name. So, you know, it's not really what you know, it's who you know sometimes.
When it right. Comes to stuff like that. And just by DNA, our kid's going to have, I'm just talking about the parents, our kid's going to have some traits and some gestures that their parents have. That's just by DNA. But we got to watch how these people, I mean, just don't, you can't be nobody else's image. If you want, if one of my sons wants to be a football player or basketball player, don't be like Mike. Be yourself. Do something. Don't be like Mike. You don't have to stick your tongue out every time you go to the hoop. You don't have to do that. Be yourself.
And not just that. You know, there are a million athletes that are, I noticed, well, even in my neighborhood growing up, over there was a few guys in my neighborhood that would smoke Michael Jordan on any given day. He ain't all that. Jordan ain't all that. Okay, I know this. But what Jordan had and what these kids that I saw in my neighborhood rocking that basketball is networking. So it's really important to how Jordan got drafted as a number one pick is who he knew. So you can have all the talent in the world.
Well, I don't know. I can't say that because he made some big shots, man.
I'm telling you what I'm saying.
Well, I'm saying he earned his way, though. I'm not going to say it was luck.
You can have straight A's and everything like that. You can have straight A's. You can be a genius in the classroom and all that. And you're trying to be an athlete, and if don't nobody know you, you will be just like the rest of these. They would be just like the rest of them people. When
right, but the reason why they knew Jordan because he made that big shot in North Carolina. That's how he got known.
No, he had nothing to do with that, man. None of his skills, man.
No,
he
had nothing
to do with that.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? So, okay. Right now we're going to a round. Listen, Jordan has proved himself on the court, bottom line. So, I mean, he.
That was just a small percentage of what he did, man. He circulated himself around people that can take him to the next level.
Oh, yeah, I understand where you're coming from because he took another angle. First of all, if he wasn't as good as he would, his notoriety wouldn't be as well. So you can't take away his court performance comes first. Then he didn't graduate. He didn't graduate, but he was majoring in business, and he knew that this was a business opportunity. It's business.
That's not all the way true, Mike. Even with that, it's
what do you mean that's not all the way true?
You graduate, you got it going on. Man, fuck all that.
Too many people talking. I can't hear
you. Okay. Just fuck college period. If you going to college to graduate to be successful in life, you got the wrong state of mind. It ain't about graduate. Okay, yeah, I met you, and I'm going to walk into the corporate world. No, you got to circulate yourself around that idea. You want to be a chef? Okay, how many chefs do you know? You want to work as a mechanic? How many mechanics do you know?
Right, exactly, but using Jordan is a bad example because he's in the NBA. He's already circulating. What are you talking about? He circulated himself around people. When he came in, they give you like.
I don't understand what you're talking about, man.
You're getting off topic. I don't understand what you're talking about, yo.
Every time you come on here, you just want people to disagree with you or something. You want to talk for about five or ten minutes. And don't want to hear nobody else.
What are you talking about? I don't even think you know what you're talking about, yo.
Be quiet. Hey, I got to yell. I'm on my phone. Y'all lucky. Look,
let's talk about, how about, let's talk about, we know Michael Jordan was a success and everybody looked up. How about people like Allen Iverson? You know, everybody wants to find a great role model, and everybody know he didn't care about shit. Now he don't. You understand? What about people like him? And your child come to you and say, this, I like him, this, I want to be just him. What do you do, Michael? Are you going to continue to support him, or are you going to try and show him the right way to go, or you know, let him go down that path and learn on his own? Hello? Oh, Michael's gone. Okay, he left.
Yeah, it just feel like he just want to get on here and disagree with people, man, and talk for about 5-10 minutes. Don't hear anybody else's point of view. Man, Michael Jordan, it might be Michael Jordan just by shooting a damn hoop. That's insulting the man. You just call that
right.
man a athletic, good for nothing nigger that you can just run up and down the hoop, run up and down the court and shoot the ball, and then he made it to the Chicago Bulls.
You're right. Like, who? Tell you what, GOAT. The GOAT was the best player that never made it to the NBA.
Who?
The GOAT.
The GOAT, yeah.
The New York League. Yeah, the GOAT.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yes, sir. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well,
the thing is, it's
more to it than just athleticism regardless. You can be the best
mm-hmm.
athlete, but
right.
I must say, and it was said before, who you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
Because Derek Coleman wasn't the best athlete, but he had a little run of commercials that was pretty good for him, you know what I'm saying? And they were going to paint an image of him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always about just being the best. It's about image that the people around you that's going to make money off of you paint of you, regardless. Oh, yeah, he had an off night, you know, no thing. You know, tomorrow he'll hit 60, no problem. He just had an off. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's about the idea. Michael Jordan was in a room with a bunch of people that had an idea of Michael Jordan and what Michael Jordan should be
mm-hmm.
and the number 23
right.
and all of these things that came together with it. And we're going to bring a shoe into it. And the next thing you know, we're going to have a statue in the city of Chicago.
Boom. And you're going to have a stadium.
Absolutely. It's an idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. Well, we're going to end it up right there. We can continue this tomorrow night on Freedom Fund Friday if you want to. Yeah,
why not?
We probably will. So, as always, we're going to go ahead and let y'all get your final words, and we're going to start with you, Big Chris, because you only you mm-hmm. vote left. So, I want some final words.
I ain't got no words. I ain't got no worries.
No words, huh? Alrighty then. Alrighty. Huh? Alright. See you tomorrow, man. Thanks
all
for
right.
calling
okay.
in. Alright, Mr. All right. Lowe.
Alright. Good show, man. Good show. Great show. I'm holding one of my people that I hold dear to me right now. Mm-hmm. How you doing, baby? Yeah, good show. Good show. Hey, let's continue this tomorrow night.
Alright, we can do that. That is
absolutely.
No problem. We can do that.
Absolutely. Okay. All right, I'm going to holler at you, bro. Come on.
All right.
Come on. Later, bro.
All right. All right. Thanks, Lo. Woo. All right, though. Hey, man, I tell you. Woo, another great show. We had some technical difficulties with me in between in the middle of the show, but y'all didn't notice. That's a good thing. So let me go on and kick this commercial in, and I'll be back in 31 seconds with my closing spiel.
The first in the Just Know series of inspirational fiction novels, No Condemnation by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress, is heartwarming and emotionally engaging. You will be challenged and changed as you read the gripping story of Trinae Sloan, a young, single mother torn between her misplaced faith and her children's philandering father, and what's best for everyone involved. No Condemnation by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress will be available in both paperback and ebook formats March 13th at Amazon.com.
All right, y'all. No Condemnation, March 13th. March 13th. That's what, next Wednesday. Mark it on. Help the sister out with her sales and purchase one of the books. She's been putting some excerpts out of her book, and it looks pretty good. I'm going to give me one, so go ahead and follow suit. All right, well, role models. Music industry and athletes. Look, parents, it's like this. I would think that you would prefer to have your child look at you as a role model. Now, Michael may have been talking crazy, but he kind of had a point with the image thing. But if you are exuding that the right image, I'm sure your child won't have to look outside the house as far as who would they like to imitate. It's just that simple. You know, as far as role model, the Urban Dictionary says someone be to imitate. So if you're doing the right thing, I'm sure your child wouldn't mind imitating you. Now, if they do happen to decide they want to imitate someone else, you may want to sit down and ask them why. Is it something that you're not doing, or is it something else that they see in the person they want to imitate? No, but we should all want to be our child's role model. And it's just something as a parent you would like to hear. But if not, okay. But sit down and talk to your child and see why is it they want to imitate someone else. And you may find out, well, you know, there may be a little bit something you're lacking. But as far as people like Honey Boo Boo, Kim Kardashian, reality stars, no, you don't want your child imitating any of that. You don't. Whether they're imitating or trying to be inspired by, no, I can't see that happening. I know I wouldn't want mine to do it. But first, as we always say, you know, we got to have that open line of communication with your child. You know, don't just let your child come and say, I like 2 Chainz and everything 2 Chainz come out with, you going by. You know, so as Michael said, you just feeding into that image of 2 Chainz. But find out why they're so enamored or so into 2 Chainz. And you may find out that, you know, they're falling for the wrong reason. Okay? Well, y'all, that's all I have to say today. Don't forget to kiss that special one. Tell them you love them, you miss them. you know, just love them down. That's a great thing. That's a great thing all the time. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern, Freedom Fun Friday. And we're going to pick up this the rest of this show here, plus we may add on a couple others from earlier in the week. But join us, man. Join us. I know a lot of y'all have things to do Friday night, so the show is archived. So make sure you go back and check it out if you miss it. But we'd like to get you live and hear your opinion on it. All right? Well, until then, y'all have a good one. I'm headed to the track. I am out of here. Let's talk.